Write a song.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the What's in a Song podcast. I'm your host, Scarlett Keys. One of the things that I have loved the most about doing this podcast is having the opportunity to have wonderful conversations with artists that are, you know, spanning from being at the height of their career, looking back at the highlights of their career, and catching an artist on the way up just before they're famous. Today, I have artist Ingrid Saga on the show. She's a singer-songwriter from Norway, and she's going to talk about the process of making her recent beautiful record and how her past influences have informed her current music. She has so much jazz in her history, in her DNA, in her family, and she was a huge Joni Mitchell fan, and she's going to talk about how that's all brought her to this moment and share her process as a writer. If you'd like to support this commercial-free podcast, you can take a moment and go to scarlettkeys.com. Click on Buy Me a Coffee. It's always wonderful to hear from you. It's really a surprise. I get an email, I get a message from you, and I get a coffee. And sometimes I'll get five coffees or, you know, a year's supply of coffee. So I really do appreciate it so much. And it's just, it makes my day. So thank you for those of you who have been buying me coffees. And for anyone who would like to support the podcast, please go to scarlettkeys.com and click on Buy Me a Coffee. And also, while you're there, if you're looking to join a community of like-minded songwriters, you can join our monthly membership. I like to say, when it comes to songwriting and inspiration, that sometimes there's a wildfire and sometimes we need to light the match. And mostly, it's about lighting the match. It's about showing up for your creativity, creating a space for that creativity. And I need inspiration. And I'm the kind of person that needs accountability. I need to have a trainer show up at my house, make me do sit-ups. I like to take classes. I like to be in a community where people are inspiring each other. And this Monday, there are a few spots left for my winter songwriting workshop called A Reason to Write. And there will be weekly, daily prompts, writing exercises, which should take about 10 minutes to 20 minutes a day. And there'll be little mini assignments. You'll have community, you'll have feedback. And then at the end of the 6 weeks, you'll have a full song with a critique. And then the thing I love the most is that we will be meeting live once a week together, where we will talk about songwriting. You can ask questions, and then I will give you a writing prompt and also a mini songwriting lesson. I'm so excited about this class. So if you would like to join, send me an email at scarlett@scarlettkeys.com. So scarlett@scarlettkeys.com, and I'll send you the information to sign up. So here is my wonderful conversation with artist Ingrid Saga.
Hello.
Hi, Scarlett. Oh my God.
I see you've got some hygge happening there. You've got a candle.
I do have a candle. It's pretty dark here.
It's pretty dark in Norway.
Yeah.
Do you call it hygge as well in Norway?
We do. Mm. Hygge.
Hygge. Hygge. Okay, I got it. Hygge. Yeah, I spent a lot of time in Sweden, and every time I light a candle early in the day, I feel Scandinavian. It doesn't have to be at night, right? Just morning, with breakfast, anytime, for coziness.
Very important.
Coziness and for creativity.
Yeah.
So for, you know, new potential fans and people listening that might not be familiar with your new music, would you just start with your backstory and kind of what brought you to singing and music and where you are now?
Yeah, sure. Well, I've always been singing. It's cliche to say, but I have, as a kid, and I started in choir when I was about seven, maybe, because I went to a concert and I saw this choir with little kids, and my mom's told me later that I said, "Mom, they look like little angels." So they sent me to that, and I sang with them for like 12 years, classical and like modern and lots of weird stuff. And I started playing guitar when I was same age, 7 or 8, and then started with singing lessons and some piano. And then when I was starting high school, I sort of, you know, picked music. My high school where I'm from, like an hour south of Oslo, smaller city, is the biggest music department in the country. So it was perfect. And there I took everything, like singing lessons and theory and band and choir and conducting and the whole thing. And that was it, really. I knew that I wanted to continue doing that.
So you decided to go to Berklee.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you first discover songwriting?
Well, pretty late in my Berklee career, or whatever you would say, because I was always so afraid of it. Like we just said, it was this big balloon of, you know, romanticizing this life as a writer, kind of. And I admired so many songwriters from a young age. My dad introduced me to Joni Mitchell and Janis Ian and Carole King and Bob Dylan and all the greats when I was pretty young. So
that explains a lot, because I just want to say, as your teacher, you really caught my attention. And I thought, where is that sophistication coming from that young writer? And you had it all in there.
Well, thank you.
Now, I know people from Scandinavia aren't as challenged maybe with English, because they learn it so young. Don't you start learning English in like fourth grade or something? When do you start?
Even earlier, like first grade. Yeah.
So, and you're listening mostly, maybe not now, because there's a lot of like Swedish rap and Swedish artists, but mostly even ABBA was singing in English. So most of what you were hearing up in Scandinavia was English. So I think we need to trust ourselves a little more as songwriters, because you're saying I started late, and yet you were gathering all of this, all of these lyrics, all of these melodies, how they work together. So they were kind of in your bloodstream, kind of waiting to be released, I guess.
Coming out. Yeah. No, but that's how it felt. And that's how I felt. Like, I knew that I really wanted to do it, but I was so afraid of it, and I didn't know how. And I'd spent so many years performing music, like just singing and playing other people's songs and jazz. Like, that's my first year at Berklee, I was only learning like jazz repertoire and focusing on that. And then, you know, I had a roommate who you probably remember, Julia.
I do.
Also Scandinavian.
I remember you too.
Yes. She told me she was going to sign up for your class, actually. So your class was my first experience really with songwriting ever.
Okay. So that's ridiculous, because your songwriting was already so good.
That's ridiculous, because it wasn't.
No, it was there. It was there. Both of you, it was there from early on. And, but I think that, you know, when you study songwriting, it can be such a tricky thing, because here you are like nervous to even attempt to write. And now you're being thrown kind of all of these tools, like all at once, because you're in a class. Did that help you? Did it help you to have tools and craft, or do you? Yes, it did. Okay. Okay.
Oh my God.
I think it can be a little intimidating.
Well, it just breaks it down though. For me, that's what it did, I think. And to look at the assignments as like, okay, this is not magic. It's just a task. Just try. So in my case, it made me so much freer to know where to start and to, you know, to have some tools to go from.
Yeah. Like a simple little guideline, like, okay, write a verse. And in that verse, just pay attention to focus on the unstable pitches and how they might affect certain words. That's it. Like, that's your job. And so then the pressure's off to like download this amazing thing. You're just an intellectually going, okay, I'm going to try this. And some really beautiful things came out of you just being willing to try that. So believe me, I could see your talent early on. Trust me, it was there. And it was such a pleasure to have you in class, because you had such a great attitude and you were so easy to work with. So I'm so excited to know that you're pursuing writing and that you're doing some special things. And I would love for you, because I know that you graduated from Berkeley. Yes.
Yeah.
And now you're back in Norway.
I am.
And
yeah.
So what's next for you? And what is your, because I really want to dig into kind of where you are with your songwriting process, because you have some beautiful songs that I want to play. I want to actually play three of your songs today. And maybe have you talk about the process. And I know they're different stylistically than one another. And kind of where you're headed. I love the fact that Loi Vei is in the world right now, because so many people who love jazz and came from that, I think, you know, I went to see her in concert with my daughter, and she said, you know, because I think she did so much over during the pandemic at home releasing music, that she was able to really just put out what she loves. And, you know, she really encouraged the audience, by the way, which was a packed house of mostly people in their 20s. She said, don't be afraid to do the music you truly love. And I think as artists, sometimes artists do the music they think they can make a living at, or most people will accept, instead of really asking themselves, like, what lights me up? Mm-hmm. And when you follow that, you know, I think success comes to you, because you're really being true to what you love, and people see that in you. They see your joy. When you see Loi Vei up on stage, it's so clear that she's in love with the music that she's writing. And my daughter thinks she's bringing jazz back.
Yeah. And she's, Loi Vei is a good friend of mine. She was one of the first people that I met coming to Berkeley. And so I've talked to her about this, and she said, just what you said, she is so free to do whatever she wants to do, both because she's independent, she's not on a label, she has the fan base, and they follow her. She can do whatever she wants, and it's working. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. It's amazing what we can do now. It's sort of the old template of, you know, hoping to get discovered, which was the original old template. And then there was, you know, trying to get a record deal, just trying to get the record deal. And now it's really putting out wonderful content and connecting with your people.
Hmm. And yeah, and it's, you know, it's still, the industry is still there. And I think a lot of us struggle with that balance, because it's such a different mindset thinking about the industry and think, you know, planning everything around the music. And that's so different than being in the process of writing, I think, or in the studio, you know, any part of the creative process is such a different state. So it's really hard to balance, I think.
Yeah. And you have to wear a lot of hats if you're going to be doing that in the beginning, but hopefully then you can start getting help, or maybe you will want to get a record deal if it's the right deal, but it's just that there's not one way anymore, which is lovely.
Right. Exactly.
So we're going to hear some pretty special music from a very young artist today. And I love that. I love hearing such sophistication and beauty that really honors like past traditions coming in with a new voice. And before we play a song, do you want to talk about, you know, maybe some of the co-writers you worked with and producers, and sort of what you're looking forward to right now? So Strange Philosophy was your first
single.
Yeah. So this is called Strange Philosophy.
Democracy is falling, at least in this part of the world. But sometimes I wonder, would it be for the better? Do not let every voice be heard. We crave spectacular illusions, a one-man show put on by a fool in a tie. I like the thunder, but I admire the rain as it's washing away each alibi. support her. Endless trains of thought to explore. I know they say that nothing's what it seems. So maybe I don't need to believe in this strange philosophy. It's a weird world of greed, of stocks and promises, anti-wrinkle creams. But who will care about my number of pounds when I'm deep down in the ground? Did the filled with strangers, an unfamiliar rose to water each night. I'll run my fingers round her petals and find the traces through their minds. A softness to my heart and keep my eyesight sharp, but that's just me and my strange philosophy.
First of all, just the title is so great, Strange Philosophy. It makes me want to hear that song. It's one of those titles. I love the use of space, and I love the fact that you change the lyric with each chorus, because I feel like if you're explaining something like strange philosophy, it's really nice to use that space for new content. That's always a question with songwriters. It's like, do I keep the chorus the same every time? And it really depends on the song. And I love that you were able to change it and let the song evolve lyrically.
Yeah, I wanted that because it came from the title. The whole song came from the title. So it was an exploration of, well, what does this mean? How can I use this in different ways? Yeah.
Mm. So you started with a title.
I did.
Okay. And was this a co-write?
No, this was just me. It wasn't
an assignment. Did you have your candles?
No candles.
Just checking.
Just me and my computer.
So you said it was an assignment?
It was an assignment, and I remember it being the day before, and I didn't have anything. Mm. It was one of those like stress days of, I have to prepare something, I have to perform something. And then, so I just sat down. I sat down for hours kind of trying to come up with something and trying to find something. Because I used all those assignments. This was in Pat's class, Pat Patterson.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. Great guy. Yeah. I used all those assignments to really try and not just write the assignment, but really kind of dig for something that I wanted to write about.
I love the evolution of your lyric. And first of all, just so sense bound. It's really, I can really picture this and feel what you're saying, especially the last verse where you say, about, we were talking about an unfamiliar rose to water each night to run my fingers around their petals. Oh, so beautiful. Very poetic, but very accessible at the same time, which is tough. You know, sometimes when we get into metaphor, we can kind of get lost in metaphor and we sort of forget the song because we're just, what else is it like?
Yeah.
And we get a little fancy and overwritten. And yeah. I love how this just feels, I don't know, you know, if Joni Mitchell, and I know that Joni Mitchell has a lot of jazz in her work as well. I really can't compare you because you just have your own sound, but I do hear the effects of the people that came before you in the most beautiful way. And the other lyric that I really loved so much was, you know, how you would have something concrete and something abstract. So for example, the first line is, it's a weird world of greed, which I like the alliteration of weird and world. And then you have of stocks and promises. So you've got that concrete and then you have the abstract. I'm such a fan of that as a lyricist, of stocks and promises, and then an anti-wrinkle cream. You just threw that one in. And that covers so much ground, like in one anti-wrinkle cream. Like if you just imagine that, it has a whole story that it brings with it. You didn't even need to explain anything else.
Yeah.
And then, but who will care about my number of pounds when I'm deep down in the ground, which is so true. Just
right.
So true. Oh my gosh. So it's true. Yes. And yeah. Now no one cares now.
Right. That's the other thing.
So just, I love it. It's so creative and it's so, lovely. So you had this, this was produced by, who would produce this?
Kieran Deshaud.
Okay.
Produced this. Yeah.
All right. Lovely. And so this was your first single.
Yeah.
And so I love knowing that this was not a co-write because a lot of times, for example, if a writer is trying to get a publishing deal and they go and have a meeting with a publisher, it's really powerful to go in with just what you've written without co-writers so they can really hear you. Really hear your voice as a writer. It's just fantastic. I really, really like this song a lot. Yeah. So very beautiful chords.
And clang.
Yeah. Love, like just enough, you know. You
open tuning. Yeah.
Okay. Can you talk about, cause that is where I hear also musically some Joni Mitchell and what you're doing. Do you want to talk about open tuning, and do you think you could break down what that means for someone who does not understand open tuning?
Open tuning, I mean, it's just, this is just an in drop D with a capo. So the open, you know, when you strum it without any chords, it's a chord in itself. A D chord.
Yeah. So can you walk us through like the top string is.
Yeah, sure.
String by string, just for anyone who wants to try that, who isn't maybe a guitar player or they're just dabbling and they'd like to try something different.
So let's see if this, I think this is in open probably. Yeah, kind of in tune. So this is in open D. So it's, D, it's 1, 5, 1, 3, 5, 1.
Great.
And then what I do is just move different shapes around because I don't really play. I don't really play the guitar. That's what I joke about that when I'm on stage playing the guitar. I don't really know a lot of, you know, theory or voicings or traditional guitar. So I just cheat my way around it by using open tunings and then moving shapes to see what kind of comes out and what sounds interesting to me.
So when you say, I'm just going to break it down even a little bit more. When you say just making shapes on the neck, does that mean that you're just randomly putting your fingers down on strings and just seeing what that sounds like? You're just kind of making up a shape.
Yep.
With your fingers on the left, on the fret.
Basically. And I mean, there are a couple of like shapes that I'm assuming might work, but if I use weirder tunings, they might not work at all. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of like a mystery process, which is very different than when I write on piano.
So what's a shape you would use on a guitar just to try out?
This song, Strange Philosophy, is like, it starts pretty, I think, traditional, like different key, but like you've heard that a million times.
So you just like have two fingers down, or three?
Two fingers, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I move, and I still only do two fingers, but it's a different shape, and it's like instead of two different frets, now it's on one fret. It's weird. It's both a third and a fourth in there, which kind of works on guitar. Yeah. And then I move that shape down. Different, and then like a minor chord. But I just go with my ears kind of and see. And then once I find a couple of shapes that work in the tuning, that's kind of how the song comes together.
Well, thank you for breaking that down, because I'll hear a lot of people say I'm in the same habit. You know, when I pick up the guitar, my fingers always go into the same shape in the same way. And I know most people have explored open tunings, but for someone who hasn't today, that's for you, because try that and just see if that doesn't inspire a new sound.
It's really fun. I think it's fun.
I think we should all stop apologizing and saying we can't really play, because I think, you know, we're just using these instruments as like a sound, like a platform for our voice and our melodies and our songs. And you sound great. So thank you for sharing that. And can we do another song?
Cause yeah,
I
sure.
Really want to share more of what you're up to. All right. So everybody, isn't she just so nice? This is what I'm talking about.
Scarlett.
All right. So then the other song,
do we want another guitar song, and I can talk about the process?
There. Yeah.
So If Found, I think, mm-hmm. is the next one. Yeah. That was a collaboration.
Okay.
I don't really co-write a lot at all. But this came about, it's kind of a long story, but I met Larry Klein, producer, bass player, at Berkeley last fall. He came to visit Berkeley, to do it like an open session for the MP&E department, and they needed somebody to produce. So Kieran, the guy who produced Strange Philosophy, he was kind of in charge of finding somebody for the session. And he knew that I loved Larry Klein. I knew a lot of his work. And so he got me on that. And so we did a session in October last year. And then we did another one when he came back in April, still at Berkeley. And then I went to LA in the summer, kind of just on my way to Washington, Seattle, to go see Joni Mitchell in concert. Yes.
Good.
I was there at the Gorge. And I bought the ticket. I didn't even know if I was going to be in the US, but I just had to get one and hope that I was still going to be there. And I was. Yeah. So on my way there, I went to LA to see a couple of friends who had moved there, and I'd never been. Mm. I was just kind of judging it from afar, like I think a lot of people do. And then I went there, and I was going to stay for 5 days, and I ended up staying 5 weeks. So working with Larry in his home studio, writing, he wanted a creative summer of writing, and we ended up making this EP together with another Berkeley friend, Itai. Mm-hmm. And we did that in July, and it came out in September. So it was like a super short, quick thing, kind of DIY in his little studio, and it was amazing. So this song is from there.
All right, so the name of this song is?
If Found.
I love it. I just love that, If Found. It makes me want to hear the song. You really have good titles.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
favorite bar. We drank the wine with the fancy label. We used to fight about the car. You always were the better driver.
You two sound great together.
Thanks. It was such a fun process.
All right. So yeah. So I love the title, but did it start with the title or what, how did this song come to be?
Oh God. How did this song, all those songs kind of came together in different ways. I think maybe this one, Itai had the idea for the chorus. Either just the title or maybe all of those lyrics. I can't really remember, but he brought something in and then we kind of went from there, finding the chords, writing the verses. I remember we all wrote the verses in the studio together and just like sitting like this, like, oh, what should it be? What should it be? It was kind of a slow process. Yeah. Lots of thinking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think both Larry and I are more kind of like thinking and then coming up with ideas. And Itai is more like he's used to co-writing. He like talks about it and it's like in that process. And Larry and I just like quiet.
Like off in your own corner, like thinking about your ideas and then.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is important because I think a lot of people's concept of co-writing is, you know, just looking at each other like improv, like, and the candle was on the table. And then the next person goes,
right,
you gave me the fancy label. And then just bat like immediately responding.
Right.
But really, for me, being a little bit of an introvert, I need a minute. So I'll just say, hey, can you give me a couple of minutes? I need to just think here.
Yeah, because at least for me, it's like I need to get to some sort of an understanding of an overview, like of what are we trying to say here and how can we do that in the verses? Because I think it all needs to kind of come from that. At least for me, it all should come from the feeling of, okay, this is what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's like a feel, like a knowing kind of. And if I don't have that, it's really hard to write anything. because then nothing, it could mean anything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, I like that you're thinking like that, like, wait a minute, what, where are we? You know, what are we writing to? What are we writing about? Because obviously everything for me, anyway, as a writer, I have found that my favorite way to write a song is with a title, because I know where I'm going with the song. It's sort of like writing an essay about blue whales and their migration habits. Good. Now I know what to research. I know what I'm writing about.
Right.
If it was just write about the things that are blue, it might be harder, but I could do that too. But you know, to just start with anything is not as fun for me. I like to kind of know where I'm going.
Yeah. Or even if it's not a title, if it's just like a feeling or some sort of
situation,
main idea. Yeah.
Concept.
And then the title can come sometimes as a surprise, which is fun. But mm-hmm. yeah, to know where you're writing from, I think.
What I really appreciated about this melody in If Found, Please Return is that you're using these gorgeous, unstable pitches. And there's such an effect on your listener when you make those choices, because they're unresolved. And do you think you could just sing the first three lines of the chorus?
I know
you've had a cold, but it would be great.
Let's see if my guitar is in the right key, because I can do it on this one, I think. Yes, it is. Another tuning. So we're coming from, can you hear this at the same time?
Yes.
That's the verse. And then, if I'll please return.
Okay, so just right there. T, re. So it's the 7 to the 2, 1, 7. You don't go to 1, you go 7, 2. And it's so gorgeous and it feels lost.
Yeah.
So it's great prosody for If Found. Okay, do the whole chorus. Let's let have everyone's ear just kind of pay attention to that. So do you mind?
No.
I'll pay you extra.
Okay, $100. Okay. If found, please return.
Time you hit the 1 was on the word return, and then keys was also on the 2. So beautiful melody writing.
Thank you. I never thought of that, the hitting the 1 or hitting the, you know, you don't really
well
always
I
think
know,
about
but
it.
That's what people say all the time. It's like, you know, we'll talk about a great song, and for example, because Adele's had so many big hits, it's like, did Adele mean to sing that unstable pitch? And I'll say, well, the best writers are connected to how they're feeling, and they're really listening to the note that matches how they're feeling.
Right.
So you didn't sit there cerebrally and say, oh, we should do 7-2, but you knew the feeling of lost, and that showed up in your melody.
Right.
Gorgeous. Okay. So if you had written If Found, Please Return, would you mind picking up your guitar again?
Sure.
I'll throw in $20 extra.
Okay. Good. I'm poor.
Candles. We'll send you some candles. All right. So just play that chord.
First one.
Do. So here's the home note. Do, 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 so, la, ti, do, re, do, do. Right? Is that it?
Yeah.
Do. Okay. So do, mi, so, mi, do. Can you sing If Found, Please Return, but only sing 1, 3, and 5 as your melody? So like maybe do and then mi or down to so. I'm really challenging you right now. So either 1, 5,
so
one,
you're thinking like do of the key or
yeah,
do of the key.
The tonic
key.
Note of the key.
Okay, so like If Found, Please Return.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Right, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If found, please return. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Now do it the way you wrote it.
If I please return.
Gorgeous. Now, the other cool thing you're doing is though, although you're singing stable notes, when you changed it, when you sang the one and the five in the melody. So if you're in the key of D, you sing D and then you sing A, for example. But the chords that you're playing have interesting tensions in them. So that's actually adding to the feeling of lost. If you had just, if that was in a normal tuning and you just played a D chord,
yeah,
it just feels so stable and boring.
Right.
And a lot of us just don't pay attention to that because we're really lost in thinking about a concept or a title or what rhymes with door.
Right. More.
What? You're too good. You got it. What rhymes with purple? Yeah, we're really struggling with other things other than how can I really make this feel lost? So thank you for doing that. That was really, and you didn't plan for that. So I really appreciate that because it's really,
of course,
it helps.
Pat always used to make us do that. Like, sing this.
Yeah. And then he would
change it.
And then he would say, now sing it the sucky way, which was the way someone wrote it.
Flip the verses.
I am. He's meaner.
He is. He is. Thank God I had you first.
Yeah. I just warmed you up for Pat. Okay. So can we play one more because this is so fun. And I know that you have another song and do you want to introduce it?
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
So this is a song that I wrote on piano. It's not me playing piano on it. It's my friend Ebba, Swedish. Mm-hmm. But it's with the full band, and it's called L.A. I mean, it's called Please Bring the Sun, and then L.A. in parentheses, uh-huh. But we all just call it L.A. Yeah.
Okay. But I like Please Bring the Sun. Again, really interesting title. And that's kind of worth it, period. Like, if you have songs on Spotify and people are just gauging by titles, it's kind of nice to come up with a title that's going to make people curious about your song.
Yeah. No, thank you for that. That's cool, yeah. And this is unreleased. It's going to be on my album. Yes,
it's going to be on your album. Okay. So let's talk about your album for a second and
okay. When
it's coming out and when people can pre-save and how we can find you, all that.
Okay. I don't really know yet if it's going to be like, it might be February or it might be like April. Cause I want to press vinyls too. I'm like that weird one wanting vinyls, basically just so that I can give one to my dad. That's the biggest reason, because he's always collected vinyls. So it might be a little delayed because of that, but I just got the mastered album today, right before this. So I haven't listened yet. So hopefully it's done if I like that.
So was this a co-write, and do you want to talk about the genesis of this song?
Not a co-write.
Okay.
Just me and
some candles.
Scarlett, totally... you make me sound so pretentious.
I did not say organic soy lead-free candles.
Thank you. I said Target candles.
That's so funny. Handcrafted from indigenous Vikings.
Indigenous Vikings.
With melted glacier water. Okay, no. So you wrote this by yourself. You wrote this on piano. And did you start with a title or a concept as well on this one?
I don't really remember. I wrote it a couple of years ago. I wanted to write about this kind of experience. It's whatever. It's like my dad always asks me, who's that song about? And I'm just like kind of not answering. It's kind of like it was a crush. Somebody, that's why it's called LA, somebody from LA. It's not about the city of LA. And so it's kind of like it's a story, but it's a fantasy. It's whatever. There's more in the song than in the story in this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is
okay,
always
great.
Fun.
We'll just play it. Let's play it.
Yeah, let's play it.
Let's play it. Okay.
Okay.
my world when you blew in a town. With your brown messy hair, indigo eyes, desire so strong it doesn't subside. You're leaving too soon, won't you come stay around? And please bring the sun when you touch back down. LA, sweet love of mine, it might have been the wine, but I think you're wasn't used to that kind of heat in these New England streets. Oh, you got me feeling like a fever in July. We were soaring too high, let's meet up on the ground. And please bring the sun when you touch back.
Live.
Yeah, you can tell.
I love doing it that way. I love.
So I understand why your dad was concerned with a lyric like you were.
Why don't you tell me anything?
In July, who are you writing about? I know I'd be the same way. But I really love that metaphor. You were a fever in July, and I love the word. You know, if you're wondering, like, is it the wine or are you are you divine? I know that that's a wonderful rhyme, but it's also a beautiful word that you don't hear that often. And then I love the idea of meet up on the ground. This is gorgeous. Can you talk about, first of all, your voice is absolutely butter. It's so beautiful.
Thanks.
And you really embody the jazz tradition so authentically as a singer, because it's not always easy to do, you know, people that are loving jazz, trying to sing jazz, but maybe it doesn't feel like they embody it.
Mm.
You really are a jazz artist, as Loive is. And it's just beautiful to hear that kind of authenticity coming back through young artists that are really studying the traditions and bringing them forward because they've really studied them.
Thank you.
And when you sing LA, what key are you in, and what are the chords that you're playing there, just on that little motif?
Let's see if I have some sound. I am at my piano. Yes, can you hear that?
Yeah.
So I'm in F. major. And then that LA part.
Do you think you could turn your piano up a little bit?
Yes, I can.
Great. Yeah, that's great.
So that's the intro. Ebba playing it a lot better than me, but. And then I go to A major. LA, B flat major. And then the C walk down. New love of mine. Back to F.
So you're using a secondary dominant chord right out of the gate.
Yes.
But for regular songwriters who don't like those words, we'll just say a three major chord. So instead of A minor, you're using A major. It's a really fabulous move. It's great. It just really creates a really unique hook on LA. And it kind of is foreshadowing of this problem. There's a problem about it, right? Maybe they're not containable or reachable, or they're a bad boy, or that messy brown hair.
Right.
Oh, trouble, you fever in July. So
yeah.
So that three major chord, that's a great chord to use as a songwriter, because it really has a lot to say.
It's a bit different. Yeah. It's
lovely. You're so creative. It's wonderful to hear you.
Thank you. To
know that, like, we've caught you kind of at the very beginning of what is about to become something very huge for you in the world and your music. And I really appreciate you patiently stopping and sharing things and breaking them down, because I always love to have this podcast be something people can walk away with something from, where they can try it in their writing or be inspired to think in a new way. Is there anything that you would like to share with us? Do you have any shows coming up, or is there a website or a mailing list or some way that people can follow you? Is it better to go to Instagram?
Yeah, well, you can always follow me on Instagram. It's Ingrid Saga, S-A-G-A. As for shows, I am in Norway. I don't know how many listeners you have in Norway.
I'll be in Sweden in March.
No way.
Yeah.
Stockholm?
Göteborg.
Göteborg. Okay.
But I could make it up to Stockholm. Are you going to be in Stockholm?
Who knows?
Okay. We'll keep in touch.
We will keep in touch.
Really fun.
So, but yeah, I'm playing some stuff here, but I'm just kind of
preparing for the release. Yeah,
working on my artist visa to come back to the US. Thank you, Scarlett. You're the best. It's so good to see you again.
It's so good to see you. And please let me know when you're back in Boston.
I will. And let me know when you're in Scandinavia.
I will. I will definitely do that. All right. This was wonderful. It was so great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's yes. So fun. Okay. Be well. Thank you.
You too.
I want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. And I want to thank Peter Sykes for mixing this episode and Otter Gross for co-writing, singing, and producing the show's theme song. Please follow me on Instagram at Scarlett Keys Official. And if you tag a friend and write the word book in the comments, I'll be picking someone to send a free signed copy of my book, The Craft of Songwriting, Music, Meaning, and Emotion. If you need a prompt from today's episode, you could try using the dropped D open tuning on your guitar. If you're not a guitarist, or if you are, you could also try writing a song using notes that aren't part of the chord that you're playing or that are unstable to the key. And just to clarify, in a major key or a minor key, the most stable notes would be the 1, the 3, and the 5. So if you're in the key of C major, it would be C, E, and G. If you were at A minor, it would be A, C, and E. The other notes are the ones that sort of bring this instability and can really affect how your song is feeling in a really special and unique way. So if you're not thinking about that, which is something I was not thinking about years and years ago, try it out. It's pretty life-changing. And so just practice that, sing something, try singing the second degree of the scale, try singing the fourth, then sing the sixth, then sing the seventh. Audition them against different words and see which ones paint your words the best and match the emotion that you're feeling. Now, go write a song.
What's in a song?